We're starting to wind down our series of the Old Testament characters of faith of our mothers. I really appreciated all the people who have spoken and been a part of that journey. Do you appreciate those women? They've all been women so far that have talked. Are you thankful for them as well? Can we thank them? Yeah, there's been, I think, four or five. I didn't ask somebody for today because I knew the kids being up here would kind of take a little bit longer, and so I didn't ask anybody to do that today. But what we're going to do to wind down this series is look at Ruth for the last 4 weeks of it. So for the next today and the next 3 weeks after that, we're going to look at the book of Ruth, which is all around essentially one character by the name of Ruth. Yeah, so we're going to look into Ruth's life over the next 4 weeks, one chapter a week. And I've had this series on Ruth ready for some time, and I've pushed it around a lot because it's never felt like quite right to do it. I've had it there for 2 years, like it's just been sitting there waiting to be done. And I was like, you know what? I think this is a good opportunity with this women, you know, the women thing that we're doing. We'll just do it with Ruth. So what I'm going to do is read an extensive bit of scripture here, the entirety of Ruth chapter 1, because it just tells the story better than I can. If I summarize it, it's going to be just as long, so I'm just going to read Ruth chapter 1 for you right now. It's not that long, but think of it in story form, because that's what it is. It's a story. So here's Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem. Okay, catch that. They were from Bethlehem in Judah. And they went away from there. They went to another country, the country of Moab, and they remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. And these two sons took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left with her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from that place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house." In other words, stay in Moab. Go back home. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Your two husbands have died. You've been kind, but you can go back home now. "And the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." So in other words, go marry somebody else. "Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'No, we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone against me.' Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." So Orpah said, "Okay, you got yourself a deal, I'm going." But Ruth said, "Nope, I'm sticking with you." And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Go with her," Naomi says. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where your people shall be my people, and your God my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." She's like, I'm here till the end. I'm going to die with you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem, their hometown of Naomi and her husband, who has passed. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, I need to say something here, because the notes on mine are different than what you have. Oh, they're in my bag. Can you get them and bring them here? Because this is not the final version of what I wrote, and it's like this will not do. But here's what I want to start out with. Ruth has the courage to stand alone. That's the biggest thing over all this. In fact, if I had to give it a title, I would say, Ruth has the courage to stand alone. Well, she's on her way now, and she didn't flip the slide, but that's okay. Ruth has the courage to stand alone. She was on the outside looking in. We'll see this actually throughout the whole story. She's on the outside looking in. Think of it. She has just one. Thank you, sweetie. Appreciate that. All right. She has just one person that she knows. She's come to a new town, a new city, Bethlehem. Actually, it's just a little village. And the only person she knows there is Naomi. That's it. Her husband had passed away. There was nobody there for her. Have you ever had to take a stand that puts you in a lonely position? Like, there's this peer pressure. Naomi was giving her peer pressure. Go back to your own town and start life all over the way you probably properly should. Well, Orpah, the other sister-in-law, she did. That's peer pressure. But she said, no, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Have you ever seen t-shirts like that where you got all these like Jesus fish or regular fishes going one way and a Jesus fish going the other way? Because you have to have courage to stand alone. I'm taking a class right now. It's 2 weeks long. It's just in the mornings online. And it goes from 9 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. On Wednesday, the professor started to wrap class up at 10:30. He's like, okay, it's 10:30, the time has come, let's be done for the day. And then somebody in our class said, aren't we supposed to go till 10:45? Why would you say that? Now that is courage to stand alone, because she was all alone in that one. We wanted to be out of there by 10:30. Have you ever had to stand alone? Having the courage to stand alone for the sake of principle is a difficult thing to do. Most of us want to stay in our comfort zone. In the general public opinion, we would prefer them to all just appreciate who we are. We don't want to go in the opposite direction. This can be especially hard for students who are in school and students who are going back to school right now. It's hard to stand alone amongst your peers when they're going in a particular direction. But for Ruth, Ruth's on the outside looking in for most of the story. Think about it. She's living with her mother-in-law. Her husband's dead. Her husband's brother's dead. Her father-in-law is dead. All the people that would keep her on the in were now dead, and she was on the out, and she was given permission to go, but she decided to stay, and they moved back to Bethlehem, and now she's a foreigner in a foreign country. She's on the outside looking in. She's not part of the system of people that would provide her access to the knowledge of being on the in. Here's the system that was on display. You can go to the next slide there. So here's what we have here. You got Naomi's the mother, and I don't remember the father's name, Elimelech, I think. And then there's a son and a wife, and son and a wife, right? You got that? Okay, so here's what happens. Next slide. The father dies. This is the system, is then the mother goes with the eldest son to be provided for and cared for, okay? But the problem is, here's the next slide. The son dies, and so the wife of that son goes to the next brother, and so does the mom goes with her, right? Okay? Women had nothing. They had nothing except for what the men provided for them in the patriarchal system. So they were going to go with the youngest son now, but then here's the problem with that. Next slide. He dies, so what happens now to the wife, and the mother? Where do they go? In the system, there is nothing for them. So Naomi says, just go start all over. I give you freedom to do that. I went to Mexico one time. I was in sixth grade on a mission trip with my dad, and they were doing construction. They were building a church or something like that. And they let me go to a local school for the day all by myself. I just went. There was no English-speaking adult there. They just showed up at school. And they were like, what's this gringo doing here? I was all alone. No one spoke English. I didn't speak Spanish. I remember wanting to go, and then after a little bit, not wanting to be there. Because it was so unfamiliar. I was a foreigner in a foreign land. I didn't know even how to eat their food. Later that week, at one point, they had this festival or something, and they made these tamales, right? Anybody had, like, legit tamales? Hey, guess what? You don't eat the corn husk. It was disgusting. And I can't get past it now, even with, like, knowing how to do it for real. And they laughed at me so much for that. It was so gross. The dogs had a feast that night when I was just like, because they were under the table. Ruth was all alone with Naomi in a foreign country, nothing familiar to her. She was on the outside looking in. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like, I'm all alone in this thing? You're the only one there. There's very few things that are familiar here. So that brings me to my first point, which is courage to stand alone is the overall point. But when you're all alone like that, it's okay to mourn being alone. It's okay to mourn it. Scripture says that she wept bitterly. Of course they wept bitterly. They all had just lost, all of them lost their husbands. They were mourning them, but they were also mourning their position. We're stuck. We're all alone. Remember the big question mark. How are we going to get taken care of now? We don't know what's next. So they were mourning that. They're literally alone. When you're standing alone, take time to acknowledge the fact, like, oh goodness, the courage to stand alone here means I'm actually alone. Acknowledge that. This is it. This is me. I'm standing on this mountain by myself. You have to maybe even mourn that a little bit. It's an inherent loneliness in standing alone. You get that? If you're standing alone, you are alone. You're lonely in there. You might get angry about it. Why isn't anybody else standing with me? Don't they have the same passions that I do? Don't they have the same courage that I do? Is this cause even worth it? Is this the mountain I want to die on? What's the point of all this? Acknowledge those feelings. Mourn them. Mourn them. But you can't stay in mourning. Look at what Ruth and Naomi did. They kept moving forward. Verse 19 says, so the two of them went on. They went on. They didn't stay in their place of mourning. They moved on. They kept marching forward. They kept pursuing the thing that they felt called to do. Ruth charged straight away into the land where she had no one else. She had no clue what was coming. She moved on. They mourned it. They moved on. There's one little caveat here that I want to say. When it comes to dealing with literal death like they did, it doesn't work in every case, okay? I'm not saying for one second, okay, shed some tears and move on. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm suggesting for those who need courage to stand alone, mourn the fact that you are alone, then move on. When we are mourning deep loss, don't let anybody tell you it's time to move on. That they cannot tell you when it's time to move on. Only you know when it's time to move forward. Okay? You don't get over loss of life, of loved ones. I do believe in the case of loneliness and the loss of life, we can't stay in the valley of the shadow of death forever. David, when he writes that, he says, "Yea, though I walk through," we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, "I'll fear no evil." We don't stay in the valley of shadow of death. We need to keep moving forward. So Ruth is doing both. She's mourning the loss of her husband, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law. She has decided to move forward in her life. And it takes courage to do that. This is what her courageous act of standing alone looked like. And I don't know what your courageous act is. I don't know what it looks like. But it's not courage if you just stay put. That's not moving on. That's not moving forward. Standing alone doesn't mean staying silent while you sit at home. You know, standing alone doesn't mean throwing barbs at people through anonymity on social media in a fake account. That's not courage, okay? It's not standing alone, getting around like-minded cronies to gang up and silence a new vocal minority. That's not courage, and it's not standing alone. Standing alone does mean having a principled reason to move forward with commitment to your cause. And then you just start moving forward. We just go. It might be sad and lonely, so you mourn that, but then you just start moving forward. This is where I feel like I need to be. This is where God is leading me. But remember this, and here's the next little point. Even when you're alone, you're not alone. Even when you're alone, you're not alone. I'm sure you've felt that maybe you were alone in a strange place at one time or another, but guess what? Even Ruth wasn't alone, because Ruth had who? Naomi. She had a mother-in-law. Naomi was there. Naomi was with her to give her instructions, to guide her. Naomi was a presence in her life to give Ruth strength and direction. We would call that the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit within you to guide you, direct you, comfort you. When you're feeling the waves of culture pressing against you and you're standing all alone, you have the Spirit with you, inside of you. Ruth stood alone. There's no one like her. She was a stranger in a foreign land, different customs, different beliefs. But she had Naomi there to guide her and direct her. You've probably have more than just you to stand with you physically as well. Sometimes other people are just looking for somebody to stand up first. And I think like in the schools, you might see that. You know, despite what you hear in the news, especially in Licking County, the schools are full of believers. Did you see how many students were from different schools? I didn't count how many different schools we had represented. Just here, we're a small church. And we had that many kids, believers, are out there. We had teachers. There's teachers who aren't even here today that I know will be going back to school this week. They believe in Jesus. And we're just one small church out of hundreds of churches in Licking County. We are infecting our schools with Christianity just simply by being there. Every single church across the county is doing something like what we did today. So there's hundreds, maybe thousands, I would guess thousands of believers all over our county in our schools, whether students, teachers, administrators, support staff, coaches, what have you, we're there. And sometimes it just takes one to stand up for the right thing, and then others will start standing up with you. Sometimes it takes one to have courage to stand alone, and then you'll see, actually, I'm not alone. There's other believers in this cafeteria with me. They're here too, and they were just waiting for somebody to stand up. And I'm not talking about what looks like standing alone today from a Christian perspective. What's getting all the news in the media is banning books, banning CRT, and muzzling teachers. All of that, to me, is nonsense. I'll tell you this, teachers in our county, and I've been to a lot of schools, they don't have time to indoctrinate your children. They don't have time, let alone have the desire. Just let them teach. There are teachers, and most of them in our county, I'm just talking about our county, go to church anyway. They have the values that we already have. The Christians who are making the news these days are attacking the wrong thing. First of all, they use battle language, and Jesus never used battle language. Paul did from time to time, but he said, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's from the Spirit. And Jesus only went on the offensive against the religious right. He never attacked the culture of the empire. He did not expect the empire to line up with the values of his own kingdom. It doesn't take courage to attack school boards and to attack the abortion issue these days. It seems to be the new Christian virtue signal to let everybody know you're against books that teach American history. That's not courage, and it's not standing alone, and I don't think it's representative of Jesus' teaching in Jesus' life. I'm talking about the courage to stand up for a person who's on the outside, the person who feels like a foreigner in a foreign land, to stand up for people who are on the margin, stand up to love somebody that is difficult to love, stand up to reach out a hand to someone who no one has even noticed that they're there. Stand up with courage to love and pray for your enemy, to pray for your rival, the person who stands against you. Pray for them. And these aren't things just for students to do at school. This is for everybody. It's a message for all of us. These are the things Jesus taught us to do. And the last thing I want to say about the courage to stand alone is that it takes commitment. It takes commitment. Here's Ruth's commitment to standing alone with Naomi. She says in verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.'" Ruth was all in. She wasn't waffling on anything. She is 100% committed. I'm all in on this. I'm with you. I'm going with you. Even though Naomi had nothing going for her, she had zero clout. She had zero property. She had $0. She had no money. And she had no husband or sons to take care of her. She had been wiped clean, gone, everything. And that's the one Ruth went with. That's where Ruth went. Are you all in for Jesus? Again, I'm not talking about what culture sees as Christianity these days. I mean Jesus. Because Jesus might force you to do the lonely thing. Jesus might have you do something that would be courageous, the unpopular thing to do. Jesus might have you do something that everybody else thinks is absolutely crazy. We did a whole series on Jesus being unhinged and what's the unhinged thing Jesus is calling you to do. Do you have the commitment to say, like Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I'll die. Even if it means going to the cross, giving up your whole self for the sake of Jesus, because it takes courage to stand alone. Well, this school year now, I don't think there's very many students left in this room, but we still operate on a school-type calendar. So we're all in this school realm. This year, you might be required to stand alone more than you ever have before, more than you ever thought was possible, more than you ever even wanted to. But remember, it's okay to mourn it, mourn being alone, but you got to keep moving forward. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you're not really alone anyway, and it takes commitment to take those next steps. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the lessons we can learn from Ruth, and we're going to keep learning lessons from her, but in this idea of standing alone and being courageous, it looks like different things for different people. So help us to identify where you would have us to be courageous and yet loving. Help us to see where you are already working around us and prepared soil for us to go. We just need to step into it. And if we get to that point and we look around and see we're the only one there, I ask you, Lord, to raise up some other people so that when we do look around, we see somebody who was just waiting on us, waiting on a person, waiting on one person just to have the courage to stand alone. We know we can't do it by ourselves, so we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to give us courage, to give us the faithful response of following your lead. And Lord, we ask as we engage our culture and show love to those who are on the outside looking in, that you bless us, that you give us the nice things that go with it, the joy of it, the satisfaction of having followed you. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.